We're going to talk for a short time this morning about what we may be holding back when it comes to our service to God. You know, each of us that have named Christ and obeyed Him in baptism, we've made a commitment with our lives, and I think God has expectations from us in doing so. And when we think about that, we think about how we go through our lives and how we deal with our day-to-day lives, and what is it that we may be holding back from God? Are we holding anything back from God? What is His expectation of us in our lives? What priority should He take in our lives? When we think about these questions, we have examples from the Bible where we can read of these things. We have examples of people that did that very thing. They put God first in their lives. They gave Him that priority. And we have other examples where people didn't. And we can see God's attitude toward that. And we can see how that expectation of people comes out. In Psalms 116 and verse 12, the Bible reads, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" You know, we read in other places where we're called to do various things in our lives, in our service to God. And it says this is a reasonable service. And that we should walk worthy in the calling wherein we're called. We have these things, and that tells us there are certain expectations that God has of us. You know, we're greatly blessed as a people. There's no doubt about it. It's the greatest nation on the planet, and we're all a part of that. And we should recognize those things and see the blessings in our lives and understand that the things He asks of us are reasonable. He expects to be first in our lives. What do we hold back from Him in doing this? In Romans 12 and verse 1, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." There it is. That reasonable service phrase. It's reasonable for us to do those things. Think about how blessed we are. Compare our lives to some other people throughout the globe that don't have it as well as we do. And think about that reasonable service because of the blessings that we have and how we should give back to God. You know, life's not fair. Life is definitely not fair. It's not fair that I live in this country and others don't. That's not fair. And I understand life is not fair for any of us. But too many times when we look at the fairness scale, it tilts in our direction. We need to stop sometimes and think, you know, life's not fair. I've got it better than a whole lot of people, and understand that. But as we talk about what we're holding back and doing that reasonable service, we want to look at some examples this morning. We're going to start with Abraham and Isaac. In Genesis 22 and verse 2, it says, "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountain, which I will tell thee of." You know, I struggled for a long time with this passage. I'm just going to tell you, I struggled with it. And I'm not sure I totally understood it. You know how God would ask someone to do something like this. Now, we understand that He didn't require it in the end. But Abraham was willing to follow through with that. I struggled with it. Why was it that Abraham was willing to do that? Because God had first priority in Abraham's life. He knew everything he had. He knew everything that he was. He knew every opportunity that he had in life came from God. And if God asked for anything back from him, it was God's to begin with. He would give that back to God. So we continue in this story. Continuing in verse 10, it says, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." You know, we read that and we see an individual that it didn't matter what God asked for him in his life. He put God first. Now we know something like this will never be asked from any of us. It just won't be. We have the expectations that God has from us, and that's not one of them. That will never happen to us. But what about the expectations that are placed on us? Are we willing to give God what He wants? That first priority in our lives? To put Him up on that pedestal? to worship Him as the God and the Creator? That's something that each of us has to answer for ourselves. He wants to be first in our lives. Can we put Him there? He was obviously first in Abraham's life. You know, Abraham is an important example when we put it into that perspective. That God was first in his life and he was willing to give anything that God asked of him. As we move on, we see several other examples of people who did hold back from God and how God thought of that. In Genesis 4 and verse 3, reading there through verse 7, it says, "In a process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and unto his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and that thou shalt rule over him." So Cain had an offering and a sacrifice that wasn't what God had asked, was it? You know, his brother had brought the sacrifice just as God had asked. But Cain did something different. You know, I don't doubt Cain's commitment to what he did. I don't doubt that he had good intentions when he did that, but it wasn't what God asked of him. And so it says here that God was not happy with that. He had expectations, and Cain did not fulfill those expectations. You know, at this time, we don't see anything definitive or conclusive that Cain could not have, couldn't have a way to make that right in his life, couldn't make that right with God. We don't have anything that says he couldn't have at that point. But Cain then lets this disappointment about why God received that offering to spiral downward into the slaying of his brother in the end. In verse 8, we read there, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." You know, it started with that one thing that wasn't right in his life with God, and it spiraled into something far, far greater. What are we holding back? What are you holding back that's preventing you from putting him in that priority that he's asked of your life? Could that spiral down into something far, far greater? We have two passages in the New Testament that reference this event. In Hebrews 11 and 4, it says, "By faith Abel offered up unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh." In 1 John 3 and verse 12, it says, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." You know, because of that event, because of the way that his life ended up, Cain is known as an evil person. You know, when you talk about people, a lot of people know who Cain was. Well, he's the guy that slew his brother. They may not know a whole lot else, but they know that. That reputation followed him. And it started with something that didn't start with him slaying his brother. It started with something else. You know, Abel's sacrifice of what God asked didn't change Cain's actions. Abel's death wouldn't change it either, and Abel died because of Cain's evil. You know, sometimes withholding from God doesn't end with what God has asked. We withhold a little, and that little becomes a little more, and then a little more. And we let things go, and we let them slip. And those things can get far, far greater than where they began. And these things often start very, very subtle in people's lives. You know, I knew of a guy one time, very faithful Christian. Studied all the time, he knew the Bible. He showed up at all these different places and different meetings, and he went to all these different things. And you know, he let small things in his life enter in, and he slowly, slowly drifted away from God. He lost it all. I don't know what he gained by doing that, but whatever it was, he lost in the end by letting it slip just a little bit. You know, another example is Ananias and Sapphira. In Acts 5, verses 1 through 4, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie with the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And it was when it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." You see, they had this plot of land, and everybody was offering up these different things, sort of in a communal way. And they were giving up everything that they had, and they were giving that money or what, land or whatever it was, to all these different people through the apostles. And so Ananias and Sapphira went and sold this piece of land that they had. But rather than give it all up, they gave a piece of it up. Now, I don't think that's a problem at this point. It's not a problem that they gave part of what they had. We don't have an indication that it was a problem. The problem became when they gave it up and let them assume that they had given all. They held back just a little. They held it back. What are we holding back in our lives? Are we being forthright with God about where we stand with Him? Do we give Him that top priority in our lives? Here the situation comes down to what they did. Not what they did, but what they said they did. You know, apparently giving only part of the proceeds, it wasn't the problem at all. The problem was they stated that they had given all up to God. You know, we can be this way sometimes. I think back when I was a kid, you know, I'd come in, Mom would say, "Did you clean your room?" I'd say, "Yeah, I cleaned my room. Room's clean. Make your bed. Put the covers forward. Pick up your toys. Threw them in the closet. Put up your laundry. It's all in the corner waiting on you. Did I actually clean my room? Be right back." We can do the same thing with God. At first, we can hold back from God the same way. Do you attend the worship? Do you avoid the things He's warned you about? Do you do the things He's told you to do? Do you treat others the way He'd have you to treat them? It's different for each one of us. You know, what I may be holding back may not be the same as what you hold back. Every one of us should answer that question, though. And we see an example where that very question was asked of someone. Because God makes no assumptions from us. He makes no assumptions. He knows our heart. He knows where we're weak in our lives. And He offers to help us with those things. But I think He did ask that very question with the rich young ruler. In Mark 10, verses 17 through 22, it says, "When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered, said unto him, 'Master, all these I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, holding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Now, is this a lesson in the evils of riches? Not necessarily. This was obviously a problem in this person's life. But you know, God knew his heart, didn't he? God knew what that weakness was. And here he tells him, go sell what thou hast. You know, what if they ask us that very thing? What lackest thou yet? What if we were to ask God that? What lackest I yet? What would that answer be? We need to answer that in our lives. What would that lacking be for each one of us? You know, that should be what we work for, what we work toward. Something that we put some effort into. You know, we pray from time to time, Lord, make us stronger Christians in the future than we have in the past. What are we working on? That question right there will answer that. And that's something that we should put effort into. We should work on it. We should pray about it. We should look to the scriptures. Whatever it takes to fill that void of what we're holding back, that's where our effort should be. And I'm not saying we neglect everything else that's going on just to do that one thing. But when it comes to what are we holding back in our lives, what's keeping us from putting Him in that priority, we need to think about that. We need to consider it and see how we're failing in those areas and work toward what God would have us to do to give Him that priority in our lives. You know, we can hold back in a lot of ways in our lives. You know, the expectations seem overwhelming at times, and God's there for us. Possibly the hardest time in our lives were prior to being buried in baptism with Christ. To cover those sins in our lives, to know that we weren't meeting those expectations, to know we had things in our lives that stood between us and God, and we were washed in His blood and made equal in His eyes once again.